Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. In just a few minutes each week, we talk about one building, one statue, one park bench, some element that reveals to us something special about life in the city. Our tall story number 5 takes us to Norway, to what is perhaps one of Oslo's most famous buildings, City Hall. Designed by Arnstein Arneberg and Magnus Poulsen, it's the proud roof of the Nobel Peace Prize ceremony, and it was even named the city's structure of the century back in 2005. Our guide for today is Monocle's design editor, Josh Fennett.
Imagine you're zipping across the waters of Oslo Fjord on a morning ferry. If you cast your eyes towards the Norwegian capital, you'll see a peculiar sight. Rising skywards from the medieval Akershus fortress and the shiny Sjuvholmen Peninsula, you'd spot two brown towers rearing skywards like upended Jenga blocks. That's Oslo's Rådhus, or City Hall to you and me. If the sun is shining, then the building looks a russet red, but the prevailing clouds here mean that the building usually takes on a darker, earthier shade of brown. Draw closer and you may even hear the carillon bells, chiming above the hum of the busy capital from the belfry on the Eastern Tower. Oslo's blocky, brick-built City Hall may host the annual Nobel Peace Prize Awards ceremony each December, but its own history is one of conflict and acrimony. First mooted in 1931, the construction was delayed by war until 1950, when it finally opened to coincide with the city's 900th birthday. Many were dismissive, others unconvinced, and some openly appalled by the structure they found themselves lumped with. As you approach the ornate wooden doors of its entrance, the building's simple rectangular simplicity gives way to a mishmash of imagery, art and sculpture. From fountains and bas-reliefs to wooden carvings and a grandiose gold-trimmed astrological clock. A series of wooden carvings along its edifice depict Norway's history, in images of medieval knights and pastoral scenes, bellicose north gods, vanquishing wolves, or dueling with dragons. It's all a little confusing. Next to a bay window on the building's east is a sculpture of a well-dressed man and a woman, holding hands. As you turn the corner, however, you see that the woman is also holding hands with another, decidedly less dapper-looking lover. It's a playful nod to the plot of the novel Albertine by Christian Krohg that was published and banned in the 1880s. It's also a wry, charming and revealing piece that shows there's humour and wit in the building's construction, and one of the aspects of this initially despised gem that began winning Oslovians over. Inside this hulking brown building, the main hall is decked out with garish murals depicting scenes intended to galvanise an image of Norwegian nationhood. The eastern wall tells the story of Norwegian resistance during the Second World War, while the back panel hosts Henrik Sorensen's vivid depiction of various defining moments from the nation's past. The picture is arresting, action-packed and bold, even if the title of the piece, Administration and Festivity, is a bit of a damp squib. The peculiar building is a beguiling place to explore. At once bold and modern, its design and decoration are a statement of Oslo's struggles to form its post-war identity. Remember, Oslo was under Swedish rule and still called Christiania until 1905. Although initially decried and denigrated, the boldness of this structure has finally come good. Today, it's one of the city's most popular landmarks, and even known affectionately in these parts as the Brunost, or brown cheese, a delicacy, we're assured. The City Hall has become an unlikely symbol of civic pride. Oslo is a very different place from when the Rådhus opened 66 years ago, and even more so from when it was dreamed up in the early 1930s. Today, the Fjord City is one of Europe's fastest-growing hubs, and its coffers have been swollen by the discovery of offshore oil in 1979. So, as the sun dips in the sky and your ferry chugs away from Pippavika Harbour, in the shadow of this remarkable civic building, it's curious to consider that the place has never been more relevant and central to the identity of Oslo, a city that had to learn to love it.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. Our special thanks to Josh Fennett for today's episode. Remember to tune in every Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck. Goodbye, and thank you for listening, City Lovers.